Well, this morning we're looking at Acts chapter 4. I've been doing something a little different, if you haven't noticed. I've been trying to just, we can write about topics, sermons are written about topics, they're written about subjects and how that they fit all through the scripture. But I've been trying the last few weeks to just look at particular scriptures and right from the text itself, put that into a context that perhaps we can see it and understand it. Like this morning's Sunday school lesson, Hannah and her husband, well, anyhow, she goes to Shiloh or Shiloh, and on the Sunday school lesson today, we brought up or showed the archaeological dig at Shiloh and how that Scott Stripling, who is the main architect, or not architect, geologist, and how that CBN had come to Shiloh, and how that place where they are digging is the exact spot where our lesson took place today. And to know that there is a physical location and a physical place where the scripture took place, as it said in the book of 1 Samuel. So today we're looking at chapter 4 of Acts. Now, one of the things here is Peter and John are arrested. Now, if you can imagine, we read through the life of Jesus, and he goes to the temple. He goes to the temple, and he often is there teaching or preaching, his lessons. Well, it's the temple guard that arrests Jesus. It was in the temple that he was almost stoned. It's in the temple that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the temple guards were like their own police, and the temple itself was ruled by the Sanhedrin, or the high priest. So the temple, which was a very large area, the high priest ruled it, okay? Whatever he said was law, and the temple guard carried out what he said. So when you would go to the temple, the temple guard would be watching. The Pharisees, Sadducees, they'd all be there. They would be watching. If somebody was a heretic or something, well, they'd send word, temple guard would arrest them. Well, today's lesson is in chapter 4, and we have Peter and John going to the temple. Okay, it's been maybe 2 months to 3 months, because 50 days after Passover, 50 days after Easter, is Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes. And so sometime after Pentecost to where we're at is 2 to 3 months. So it's been 2 to 3 months since Jesus was arrested by the temple guard and executed. Now, what do you think the fear is of going back to the temple? there's going to be a lot of fear going into these guys to go back to the temple, where the whole lot of the people inside were responsible for actually putting Jesus to death. And so Peter and John then decide, we're going to go to the temple and minister. What would be our advice? Don't go there. That's not a good place. Well, verse 1 says, Peter, now as they spoke to the people. Now, one of the things we have to learn is that in chapter 3, Peter and John went up, chapter 3, verse 1, you don't have to go there, Terry, but now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer and the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, had been carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms. So what happens is people are bringing their offerings to the temple. So where do the people who are beggars want to gather? At the temple. Why? Because people are bringing their alms to the church, to the temple. They may give some to them on their way in or on their way out. Okay, so this guy has been lame since his birth, and so Peter and John go to the temple, and they say, fixing his eyes on him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Rise up and walk. Okay, this guy's been at the temple, and he's been there for 40 years, and he has been begging, so everybody knows who he is. And when we come to chapter 4, they spoke to the people and the priests and the captains of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed, okay, we have the Sadducees came upon them. So the temple guard and everyone who had been part of the arresting and crucifying of Jesus, these are the guys who's coming now upon Peter and John, okay? They're the ones coming. So if they've arrested your master, Jesus, what do you think they're going to do to you? Now, we go on. And they are being greatly disturbed, these Pharisees and Sadducees, disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, why are Sadducees sad? Sadducees are sad, you see, because they don't believe in a resurrection. So here are Peter and John talking about a resurrection, and the Sadducees are saying, no, you can't do that. There is no such thing as a resurrection. So they're not only upset with them for preaching, they're upset with them for preaching about a resurrection. And so they laid hands on them. It's like, if you're going to arrest somebody, say, excuse me, sir, could you come with me? Now, remember, these are the guys who took Jesus. So they laid hands on them, and they threw them into prison until the next day. So they didn't believe in the resurrection. The temple guards had the same who arrested Jesus. So, I mean, we've got a lot of things going on. Excuse me here. Verse 4. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Now, Peter and John had created quite an audience, and they were proclaiming the message of Christ. Now, we have to remember, Jesus, his life had a great impact on all of the people in Jerusalem and in Galilee and Judea. So his life had a great impact. So when Peter and John come along, they are drawing upon that impact, and these people believe in Jesus. Now, one of the things in our life, we minister to people every day because we live a Christian life. And so some people, maybe they don't come to know Jesus because of our life, but they are prepared to know Jesus because they knew us and we were reflective of Jesus. And so when the time comes for them to hear the message from maybe someone else, they respond to it. And this is what happens with this crowd. And so the crowd here says 5,000, but adding up what has already happened, there's over 8,000 believers in Jerusalem. 8,000 believers in Jerusalem, and there's no church. There's no church. There is only town, there's only homes that they believe in. Now, in one of my other archaeological expedition things, they have found during the 67 war, a mortar came in and blew up a building, what was an old synagogue, and it blew it up. So they came in and they started to excavate it, okay? And they took it down to the base layer, which was the time of Christ. And in the mosaic on the floor, it said, Jesus is the light. Okay, now this is a synagogue. And in that bottom excavation, there is where a niche in the wall that they called a niche, and that's where the law was kept in a Jewish synagogue, where the scriptures were kept, and that niche always pointed towards the temple. But this niche pointed to where Christ was crucified and rose from the dead. And Jesus is the light. This was the first church. was also a synagogue, but was also the first church where people believed in Jesus. It's also considered perhaps to be where the upper room was. And so, you know, so this is the only building that we can, they really know of, that was actually dedicated or was a church of the first century. And so here we have Peter and John. They're being arrested. There's 8,000 believers. They've got this building, perhaps, that they worship in that is a synagogue, but really not a synagogue because it's for, and remember, all the Christians at this time were Jewish. They were all Jewish, so Judaism and Christianity, they would seem to go hand in hand until a short time after this, until they separated because the Hebrew people did not want Christianity, Christ, they did not accept Christ as the Messiah, so there was a division and Christianity went on to the Gentiles. So verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers and elders and scribes, so the same council that condemned Jesus is the same council that has these guys in front of them, as well as Annas and the high priest Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were in the family of the high priest, were gathered together in Jerusalem. Remember, these are the guys that said that God had told them that we need to sacrifice one person for Passover, that one person from the community would be sacrificed, and so that's how they came up with doing the killing Jesus. And so these are the guys who did this, okay? And when they had set them in the midst, I had this happen to me once, that the people sit around, and they put you in the middle, and it's like, okay, you're sitting there. I was sitting there and was wondering, what is this all about? It was, we want to let you know what we really think of you. And they go around the circle, and it's like, oh, thank you very much. Well, here we have these same guys, these Pharisees and these Sadducees who don't believe in a resurrection. They're sitting in this circle, or they're saying they have Peter and John in the middle. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the prophets and the elders of Israel. So we find that Peter is not the same Peter, because the last time he was here, what did he do? The last time he was in the place of before the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and the trials, he denied he knew Jesus. Okay? He denied. So here is Peter. You look at facing your fears. Here's Peter that 3 months ago, he denied Jesus and Jesus was crucified. But of course, Jesus rose from the dead. Peter, how do you love my sheep? Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my, 3 times. So it's like trying to get Peter to understand his sin was forgiven. And so now Peter is in the same place, practically the same place, but he's facing the same people that put Jesus to death, and he's now proclaiming Christ. So 3 months ago, he was saying, I don't know him, and he cursed him. And now he's saying that about the rulers and people of the elders of Israel. If we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Who's the helpless man? The lame man at the gate. Let it be known to you, and to all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, do you imagine what happened then? Can you imagine what was going on? These are the guys who put Jesus to death, and now Peter's telling them that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Who doesn't believe in a resurrection? The Sadducees. Who's making up most of this council? The Sadducees and the guards and the people who arrested Peter and John, same people who arrested Jesus. And Peter's telling them, you guys, You put him to death. But I want to tell you, he's not dead. And by the name, this is great, this is important, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. See, the power in the name of Jesus. See, Peter and John and the disciples knew Jesus was risen from the dead. And if we, there's a whole list, there's like 12, 14 list of people that Jesus appeared to after his resurrection. And there was one of the statements of about 500 people saw him at one time. And so there are hundreds of people in Jerusalem that has seen Jesus alive after the crucifixion. It's not just one or two, it's hundreds of people. And these Pharisees and Sadducees, they've all heard about it, but you know, they want to keep it squelched. And then Peter goes on to say, he says, by him this man stands here before you whole. By the name of Jesus, this man can walk. Now, whenever we understand the importance and the power of the name of Jesus, we can pray for our requests, pray for the needs in our life in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Why? Because he's risen from the dead. He is Lord. He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know, the songs we sing, they are inspiring us to lead us to this point of worship and understanding and giving our hearts to God. And so, verse 11, this is important. It doesn't sound important to us, but this is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now, to us, that doesn't sound like much, but in the Hebrew scriptures, Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So these Sadducees and temple guards and Pharisees would have known what this meant, that the stone which the builders rejected. Now, there are 12 references to the stone of Christ, and I have another one here in Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. So when Peter is talking here, he's talking about Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of our faith. And the cornerstone, we know in the Pennsylvania has the Keystone State, and at the top of the arch is this little, it's like a stone with the Pennsylvania emblem on it. That is considered a cornerstone because that stone at the top holds the arch up. We often think of a cornerstone as at the bottom, at the side of a building. But the cornerstone is that which holds the whole arch up. And so Christ is the cornerstone of our faith. Everything is held together by our faith in Christ. And everything that we believe, you know, there is no other name, it talks about it here a little later, verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. People say that Christianity is too exclusive. You know, there's many ways to heaven. No, there's only one way. And it's Jesus who said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we find that the foundation, the cornerstone of everything we believe is in a living Savior. Everything that we believe is held together because Jesus is risen from the dead. We have eternal life because Christ is risen from the dead. We are set in this life because God loves us as his children. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, okay, who are these guys telling us? You know, who are these people to tell us what's going on? Well, what they said, they marveled, and they said, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's another important phrase. The Pharisees, these people who put Jesus to death, realized Peter and John, miracle, their declaration of truth. They said, these men have been with Jesus. Now, that's to be said of us, that we are with Jesus. Why? Because of the way we talk, because of what we believe, because we know that Christ is with us, that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So we are saved, forgiven of our sins, because of what Christ has done for us. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So, what did they do? Perhaps they are remembering Lazarus. When Lazarus was risen from the dead, what did they say? We've got to kill Lazarus and Jesus. He's getting too powerful. So, Lazarus isn't dead, he's still alive. Jesus has died, he's risen from the dead, and now these people recognize there's 8,000 believers, 8,000 men who are believers in Jerusalem, and this lame man is standing here, and he's able to walk. We tried to kill Lazarus and Jesus, we put him to death, and now this is getting worse. We thought we were only dealing with one man, now we got 8,000. Plus these radicals. So verse 15. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. What are we going to do? So they sent Peter and John out. And these guys had their own private meeting. What are we going to do with these people? All who dwell in Jerusalem, they know what's going on. We can't deny it. Verse 17. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. What we're going to do is we're going to threaten them, you know, because they're afraid of us, right? Well, Peter denied them 3 months ago, but Peter's not the same man he was 3 months ago. He's a different man. Why? The Holy Spirit has come upon him. And what they couldn't understand when Jesus was trying to teach them, they now began to put together by the Holy Spirit and the resurrection of Jesus. They began to understand about what the Old Testament knew and this whole new revelation that has come through Christ. Verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. You can judge what you want to, but we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We will not lie about the things we have seen and heard. That's what Jesus has given them. You can talk about whatever you want. And see, this is where our testimony, our declaration of what God has done for us, that's our experience with God. People will always, I don't agree with this, I don't agree with that. That's kind of going out of need, you know, the Bible's gone out of favor. People are trying to discredit it. I mean, they can do what they want, but I want to tell you what my testimony is. That Jesus is alive, he's risen from the dead, and we've seen him, we've heard him, and we have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, and we're standing here, and in the name of Jesus, this man walks, and we are going to speak the truth of what we know. You can be the judge of what you want to be, but we're going to be answerable to God and do what we know is right before God. So when they had further threatened him, they let him go, finding no way to punish them because the people, so they can't punish them because there's thousands of people wanting to know the outcome of this jury, this hearing. And for the man was over 40 years old. He was 40 years old and lame, couldn't walk since he was born. And now he's walking. You got the lame man walking. You've got thousands of people out waiting for an answer. And these guys have to come up with an answer. 3 months ago, they killed Jesus. Now, they have to come up with an answer. So they threatened them and sent them out. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they went back to their family, their church family. They went back to their church family and told them all that went on. And so when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. So when they heard what was done, they raised their voice to God. You know, whenever we were able to see Shiloh and the dig in Israel, and we're able to see the scriptures and put that into place, and we're able to understand that we have this relationship with God, we're to raise our voice to God. We're to say, thank you, praise you, God, for all that you have done. That you're capable and still working in my life. You're still working in our government. You're still working in our nation. You're still working in the world. Lord, you're still at work in our community, in my life, in my family. You're still at work. Well, what if it's not the way we want it? Like Hannah, prayed for years. Nothing changed. But see, God is at work. No matter what we may think, circumstances cannot change what God has put in place. We have to believe God in spite of the circumstances, in spite of what we think, in spite of, here's this lame man sitting there for 40 years begging for something to live on. And Peter and John said, we don't have any silver or gold, but what we got, we're going to give you, and that's us. We can't give we don't have things that everybody wants, but what we do have is Jesus. What we do have is Jesus, and that is who we're sharing with people. We're talking about him in our life. Actually, we're living Christ in our life. That's where we are called to serve him. Verse 25, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage? So David, wrote this. So why did the nations rage? That's the Gentile nations. And the people plot in vain, plot vain things. That's the prophecies, the prophets and the people of Israel. The kings of the earth took their stand. That would be Herod and Caesar. And the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. They put him on trial. So this is what David wrote centuries earlier. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, which the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Basically, and he's saying there that whatever happened in the crucifixion of Jesus was determined by the foreknowledge of God for the sins of the people. It took this 3 months now since Jesus has been crucified and rose from the dead, and they're now realizing this was the purpose of God, and Jesus told them about it numerous occasions. So we know from the scriptures that before the foundation of the world, Jesus knew he would be the sacrifice for our sin. He knew that. And so all of this that had taken place with the nations and the kings and the rulers and all the people doing what they did, they are just fulfilling the plan of God. And in our life, we don't know why things happen. They're just fulfilling the plan of God. And we serve the King of Kings. We serve the Lord of Lords. We serve the God that silver and gold have I none, but what I have Jesus. And that's what I'm going to share with you. Now, Lord, verse 29, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. We have to look at their threats. See, they weren't denying there were problems. They were looking at the threats, and they're saying, God, give us the boldness to speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. God, let your signs and wonders be done through your name. That's our prayer. Through the name of Jesus, he receives the honor and the glory. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. So they were together, and they declared this, and there was another earthquake, and the Spirit was upon them. And they were filled with the Spirit again. It's like, this is a confirmation. Silver and gold have I none, but you know what? We've got the power in the name of Jesus. And that's what's in our life. That's the Spirit that is alive in us. And if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, he will quicken your bodies. So what Peter and John didn't know 3 months ago, but the Spirit of God and Christ ministering to them, and now these 3 months later, they're standing before the same people who put Jesus to death, and they're boldly proclaiming the message of Jesus, risen from the dead. That's that little section of Scripture. Amen? Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the light that is given to us by your Spirit. We thank you for the chief cornerstone that is our Savior, Jesus. Lord, through your foreknowledge, through your will and work, we praise you, we thank you, and whatever distractions may come in our life, may we always be focused that you are Lord of all, and you are our friend. We thank you for this, and we make our prayers in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. We thank you. Work in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Yes.